Before I begin this message, I would like to send greetings out to everyone, especially that's watching online, and especially to my mom, who is most likely watching from a hospital room in North Carolina right now, where she is with my cousin Mike Everhart. Mike Everhart is just about to meet our Lord face to face. He's fought a brave fight with pancreatic cancer, and he's a wonderful hero of mine. He served as a medic, and he served many tours. He went to Fallujah, lots of other places in the Middle East, and he's just a wonderful light to me as I was growing up. And the thing about my cousin Mike Everhart was he had the best handshake. Like, I think I learned how to shake hands from that man. He would see you from across the room, and he had a handshake that just seemed to extend loving kindness all the way. And he was always very interested in making friends and interested in other people. And he would ask questions and learn from them. And he was just a gentle soul and a powerful presence in my life growing up. But I remember his handshake so much. So many times that he would be at our house for a meal, I would shake his hand several times. I'd just get one more handshake in. And I think about him meeting Jesus and how I know that he'll be remembered in that way. And I can just imagine him shaking Jesus' hand in person. What a joy that is to think about and to know and to trust and to remember. Today we're talking about why church matters. Why it matters that we come together as a community of faith. And today our theme is to remember. So would you join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, as we remember our baptism, as we remember who we are and whose we are, our place in the church, God, would you add a blessing? As always, God, I'm here to be a vessel. Would you speak through me and in spite of me? May my words contain your truth. God, we love you and we thank you. So once again, God, we ask that you would help us to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what you have to say to us today. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're starting in on this new sermon series, the beginning of the year, on why church. And I picked this image. I love this image. This is you are here kind of an image. This is superimposed. This is the Colonial Hills map on Google. It's real kind of easy to find. And you are right above the little red dot right in the middle right there. And we're thinking about this question, why church? Now, I just want to tell you, I love this church. I don't have a whole lot of history here. I know this church has a lot of history, many, many years. And my history here begins last March, actually. It was March the 3rd when I got a call that it didn't say anything about Colonial Hills. It just said we'd be moving. So that began the praying. You know, where are we moving to? Where will we be? Where are we going to be appointed? Well, Then when I met the SPRC and I came to this church for the first time, it was the first time that I had ever seen this location. I have had colleagues that have been appointed here, but I had never driven by. I knew it existed, but that's about it. Bless you. I knew it existed, but I didn't know anything more about it. But I got to tell you, over the time that we've been here and the 6 months that we've been here, we've just fallen in love. Fallen in love with the spirit of the place, with the people, with the staff, with the team, with the not only the history, but where we are right now and where we're going. And it's just filled with excitement and joy, and there's just so many good things. And so I always love to meet people, and one of the questions, of course, that I ask people that I'm meeting outside of the church is, do you have a church home? And then oftentimes they tell me about their church home, and I like to ask questions about that because I'm always ready to learn stuff we could bring back here, you know, and good things that are happening. How do you do that? How do you do this? Well, oftentimes they'll say, no, I don't have a church home. And I, of course, my follow-up would be, well, boy, I have one that I'd love for you to come. You'd be welcomed. You know, you'd be included and all that. And so I love this question. And sometimes people say different reasons why not. And I guess the list is pretty long on why not. Why not come to church? Why not be involved in a church or even be online? Why not? Well, lots of reasons why not out there. And you know what those are too. You know, church could be irrelevant or people could be hypocritical or judgmental. And there are many times and many experiences that I've had, and maybe you've had, where people from the church have been known for something else besides the love of Christ. You know, we sang that song for years, "They will know us by our love." Well, sometimes we're known by other things than that. And so this question is really important to us. Why church? And what's the deeper reason behind that question? Why? Why church? I remember returning to church and kind of coming into church as an adult and coming into very unusual circumstances that led me towards youth ministry. And so I had started a job in Seguin years ago. This was, I guess, in 2005. Before kids came along, before any of that kind of stuff. And I started out in youth ministry. And I went to Perkins School of Youth Ministry for a week-long training in youth ministry. And it changed my life. I mean, it absolutely changed my life. And I'm so proud of our youth director, Isabella Lopez. She is going today to Perkins Youth Ministry, SMU, and learning... Yeah, and learning more about it. And she's so on the ball that you know, I feel like, okay, let me recommend Perkins Youth Ministry. You got to go. She goes, I'm going in January. Already checked, already there, you know. She's all over it. And when I got to Perkins School of Youth Ministry, that I met a guy. He had just written this book, Contemplative Youth Ministry, and his name's Mark Iaconelli. And Mark is the son of Mike Iaconelli, who started Youth Specialties, and he was doing some church consulting and everything, and he had visited a church, and this kind of sounds familiar, but he was invited to a meeting at a local church to talk about youth ministry. Parents and other church members were distressed about young people and how they had stopped attending, despite the church's investment of time and money into an activity-packed youth program, and they were calling it Youth Power. Instead of discussing the specifics of the youth program, he asked the people to tell me why they wanted kids in church. Why church? Well, people were startled at first, and they looked at him as if the answer was just obvious. And then they began to respond. One man called out, "Church is good for kids." "Well, can you be more specific?" he asked. "Well, church is where kids learn values and morals." And then a mother spoke up and said, "I want my kids involved in the church so they can get involved in something positive. I don't want them getting into trouble or hanging out with bad kids." Most of the comments echoed those sentiments, and Iaconelli said he stopped the discussion and he said, "I have a recommendation. If your primary reason for wanting young people in church is to keep them moral and protected, then you should be up front and tell them. I suggest you change the name of the youth group from Youth Power to Nice and Safe." Well, the parents laughed, knowing that none of their kids would be interested in a program that sounded so bland and protective. One father spoke up and said, "You know, I bet a reason why our kids don't like coming to church is because they know it's all about us. They know despite our outings and activities, the program really is about our desire to teach them to stay out of trouble. The insight filled the room. Many of the adults felt embarrassed at the exposure of their real intentions. But then he reminded the group, well, you know, it's good to want our kids to be protected and moral. But then he asked them to take a moment and notice if there were any deeper desires that they had for their children and for other youth of the church. He gave them a period of silence, and they said the silence was rich and full. Some people's eyes welled up with tears. After a few minutes, I asked people to share what they'd noticed, and here are some of the responses that he collected. My hope is that my daughter will know how much she's loved. I hope our youth can have a sense of God's joy and peace, even in hard times. I want our youth to know that they have a community of faith that'll carry them. My hope is that our young people will live lives of love. I hope that my children will grow to know that God is as close as their heartbeat, offering strength and comfort when they need it. I hope our kids will see Jesus as a friend and realize they're not alone. My hope is that our youth will know that they are not just consumers or statistics or employees, but they have gifts and abilities that God has given to them. I want them to know they're uniquely made by God. I want them to know that they belong to a long history of people who have followed Jesus and standing up to injustice and bringing light into the world. My hope is that our youth will have a faith that will help them know when the culture is trying to use or exploit them. I wonder what your deep reasons are for why church. As I began to think about this and pray about this and think about how I might answer it, I thought about 8 reasons. And the reason why I picked 8 reasons was because we have 8 Sundays until Lent starts. The sermon series is only so long. And I could keep going on and on, right? But 8 reasons, and so here they are, and I love this. We zoom in a little closer. Look, that's still, and so close that if you went outside and you waved, you might be able to see yourself really small right there by the worship center. So why church? Well, because the community helps us to remember who we are and whose we are. We're talking about that today. Next week, we'll talk about fellowship, the koinonia, the sharing life together. Maybe one of your main reasons for why church is because of others in fellowship. Inspiration. You know, I meet folks and they tell me how they came to know Christ or what Christ did in their life, and I'm inspired. I feel like if, you know, it's that saying that, like, if it's the truth. Miss Marcia reminded me that if you take I've been burning a fire in the fireplace lately, and if you take a coal of fire and set it by itself out away from the burning fire, that coal's not gonna do all that well by itself. It's not as hot as it would be with all the other coal. And I think that's maybe a reason why church is we're inspired, we're breathed into by one another's stories and experiences and interactions and faith walk. We're created to serve. You know, there's this thing within all of us. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to know that we used our time in a way that mattered, that made a difference to others in our community. And we see things all over that break God's heart, and it should break ours too. And so it's to do justice, to do something about the things that are wrong in the world, to serve somehow. We're created to do that. And then I thought of a reason why church. Well, because we're broken. Because we're growing, we're in process. Church is not filled with a bunch of people that have it all together, that are just perfect, practically perfect people in every way. No, we're broken. And so we need to confess our sin together. We need to turn from what's keeping us down. We need to find that that reconciliation and that renewal. And then that we're made to worship, that God made us with a desire that we are at our best when we're worshiping God, whatever that looks like. And there's so many ways to do that. And the church is where we learn those things and where we grow in those ways of worshiping together. And that we're connected, that we're better together than we could be alone. And that we're not only connected within this church, but we're connected to other churches through our connectional system as Methodists, through Christians everywhere all over the world listening to the call of Jesus Christ. And then the last reason that I thought of was why church? Because you're invited. Someone invited you, welcomed you, and you are to welcome others in Jesus' name. Why church? Because we're invited. So we start off with the first one, to remember. And when we think about remembering, the first thing that we come to is our baptism, because that's where it all starts. And baptism is a celebration of something that God is doing as a new person is being brought in to the family, right? And a promise is being made. And that promise is that the church will raise this person, however old they are, they could be grown up, that they will surround this person in steadfast love, that they'll be the best of what the church can offer, and that you're baptized. And when you're baptized, there's a naming that happens. I've baptized so many babies. I've never baptized one here. I can't wait. There's going to be one baptized right here. We'll baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know that your identity comes from that. No matter how far away you go, no matter what you've done, it starts here. This is who you are in Christ. And the community makes this promise to continue to raise this child in the way that leads to life. Today we have an opportunity to remember our baptism. You can do that right here. But you can do that every time you're around water. No secret, many of you know I go swimming several times a week. And yesterday I went swimming to pray, you know, to be alone with my thoughts and to think about what God had placed on my heart for me to say. And I looked over and there's a lady that is in the lane next to me, and she's got headphones on. You know, they make headphones that go in the water. And I asked her, I said, hey, you know, do those work really well? She says, oh, yes. I have to listen to headphones when I swim because I don't want to just be here with my thoughts. And I said, well, yeah, okay. And so she swam off with her headphones. And I swam with my thoughts. Boy, I tell you. And I thought about a lot of things. And what the water reminded me of was my baptism. And I love the scripture, in Christ we live and move and have our being. And alone with my thoughts and my prayers, I prayed for everyone that I said I was going to pray for. I prayed for, I thought about the congregation, I thought about my family, I thought about my sermon, I thought about why church? Remembering your baptism. Every morning or evening when you get in the shower, you can say a prayer remembering your baptism. Matter of fact, I couldn't believe it. In this jacket I'm wearing from some other time, encouraging someone else, maybe even myself, I found a little prayer. A little prayer right there in my pocket, and it should be by the shower. And I think I meant to put it by the shower. I'm going to put it by my shower when I get home. It says, Lord, as I enter the water to bathe, I remember my baptism. Wash me by your grace. Fill me with your spirit. Renew my soul. Lord, I pray that I might live as your child today and honor you in all that I do. I wonder if I took a shower in the evening, I would change that a little bit. Lord, I want to live my life as your child today, and I'm sorry for the ways in which I didn't do that, but I want to honor you in all that I do. That's a nice little prayer. I'm going to put it right here by the baptismal font if you want to see that a little bit later. We have those opportunities to remember and to lean in to who we are in our baptism. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he would struggle with all kinds of things and all kinds of sins. And what he would say to the darkness, what he would say to the temptation, what he would say to the devil is, "You have no place with me. I am baptized." Remember your baptism. It's a sacred moment. It's one of many sacred moments that happens for us in the church. And why church? Well, to remember. There's something that we do, and I look forward to doing this again, where when we celebrate communion together, we remember this. He took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's a glimpse and a call to remember, that we remember that our very lives, just like the bread, are taken and blessed and broken and given. It's a way of the church remembering once again the story. This is who we are. This is the story once again of Jesus and proclaiming, remembering the mystery of our faith, that Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. You know, we do these things to remember, and we remember the story together. But as I was thinking about that word, remember, you know, it means so much more than just recalling it to the mind, right? It's not just a recall. It's more of a remember, as in being put together. You ever thought about that word, that it means remember? So it means putting back together something that was perhaps torn apart. And I think about our memory and how our memory, and people that I know sometimes, it's our memories fail us. And I, you know, in big ways and small ways, I, you know, went somewhere and I forgot my wallet the other day. You ever done that? You get to the place where you're going to pay and I forgot my wallet. There's a little song I sing with my phone wallet keys. Get my phone wallet keys before I leave the house. And it's true. And so, I think how much of it with my salvation depends on my own memory. Gosh, I hope not a whole lot, because I might not remember. There will come a day when I won't remember at all, and I will need still to be remembered. And I love that. You know, I grew up with my grandfather, who was such a man of faith, and I always took such comfort in the way that he would forget things, right? Because he had long-term effects of radiation from his brain tumor, and he would forget things, but he would forget like how to swallow or how to go to the bathroom, stuff like this. And he never forgot who he was or who God was. And I always took great comfort in that. And so I was thankful that he never forgot those things. And I was sharing that years later with somebody from a church that I served. And she was much wiser than I was. And she was much more experienced in knowing people and loving people that had memory loss. And I said, "Well, my grandfather, you know, he never forgot who he was or who God was." And she leaned in and she said something I'll never forget. She said, "You know, it wouldn't have mattered so much if he had, because God always will remember him and you and me." There's a beautiful scripture in Luke's gospel in chapter 22 where Jesus is on the cross and there's a thief beside him who prays a prayer that we collectively pray at church, and it's this: "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answers, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We remember that we are God's children. And God says in Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16, he says this. He says, "I could no more forget you than a mother could forget her nursing child. But even if a mother could forget her nursing child, I will never forget you. God says, I have engraved your name in the palm of my hand. Why, church? To remember. We come together to remember and to be remembered, to tell the stories of Jesus again, to tell the sacred stories and to live into them. You know, last week was our children's Epiphany pageant. Many of you were here and saw it, and we told the story again of the wise men that came, and the, you know, before that there was the shepherds and the angels. But my favorite part, the thing that I'll never forget, and maybe you as well, was the part where the angels celebrated. You know, they told the shepherds and they were overjoyed, and you could see the front row of teachers like, okay, it's your time, angels, time to dance, you know. And the angels were like, yeah, time to dance, yeah. And up on the screen, the angels were dancing, but there was one angel. It was Emma Chandler. And she got the cue, and she started boogieing. Did you see it? She did this dance. It was this dance of joy and freedom. And she was like the only one that was dancing in physically. But all our hearts were dancing, and our spirits were dancing, because we all longed to be that free and that inhibited, you know, and just that joyful. And it was just this joyful dance that I've been thinking about it all week. You know, it didn't really even get on the screen. If you're watching from online, it was just like cut to a bunch of angels dancing. But the way that she danced was so, so good and so freeing that you know, I thought, why church? Hey, it's to remember that. And then online this week, I saw somebody circulated a poem from one of my favorite poets, and I'd like to close with this. It's a poem by a poet that was in the 14th century in Persia. He was a famous Persian poet. His name's Hafiz. And this poem is called Created for Joy. I sometimes forget that I was created for joy. My mind is too busy. My heart is too heavy to remember that I have been called to dance the sacred dance of life. I was created to smile, to love, to be lifted up, to lift others up. O Sacred One, untangle my feet from all that ensnares and free my soul, that we might dance and that our dancing might be contagious. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you have called us together to remember. To remember that in you we live and we move and we have our being. To remember that you love us and that you're with us. To remember that we are part of a community of faith that makes a promise to one another to support and to lift one another up, to encourage, to dance. And God, we thank you that you remember us, that you love us even when our memories fail and our strength fades, that you remember who we are, and that one day when we meet you face to face, it might feel like a handshake or a hug that is so familiar because of the fact that we are remembered and that we remember too. God, what a blessing and a joy it is to be your church, to serve, to live our lives in community together. So God, strengthen us and guide us as we leave this place with your light. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.